I'm sure when Brother David was over here, he told me to preach about 15 minutes, so you guys are in for a treat. But when he was over here, I'm sure he said, "You have 4 pages of notes. How are you?" That's not 15 minutes, but I promise we'll get out of here and enjoy a time of celebration. When I was about 12 or 13, I started experiencing this tremendous pain. This is not part of the sermon, by the way. I started experiencing this tremendous pain in my knees to the point that I would cry, and I would stay up at all hours of the night because I just had this ache and this pain, and it was it hurt when I would move and when I would walk and when I would bend, and just was horrible pain. And my mom thought there was really, really something wrong with me, and thought maybe I had arthritis at a young age or something like that. But I went to the doctor, and they did x-rays and tests, and he said, "There's nothing wrong with him. He just has growing pains." Growing pains hurt. It's a genuine hurt. And we experience it in our body, and I promise you that a church will experience the same thing as it begins to grow and as outreach happens. The advantage is knowing ahead of time and preparing. And I'm thankful for a pastor who is doing just that. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8. I read this every Sunday morning to you guys. You know, one of the joys of being here, you know, said this morning that Laura and I are celebrating our one-year anniversary here at South Park, and it's been a tremendous joy to be with you all. From the very first moment that we had an interaction with South Park, you guys may not know this, but Laura and I drove from Alabama with a moving truck, and we got here at like 9 o'clock at night in the rain, and the leadership of the church and several of the men were ready to help us unload our truck. And hadn't been hired as a youth pastor yet, but they were willing to help. And all along, their kindness and your kindness has helped support us, and we're thankful for you. I graduated in May from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and the question has been asked, are you staying or are you going? And Lauren, just want you to know, Lauren, we have no plans to go anywhere. We're home, and if the Lord so chooses, we will finish our life with you. Some of you may have seen, I promise we'll get to the message in a second. Some of you guys have seen on Facebook recently that this week Laura and I were incredibly blessed with a minivan. We have a pretty large family, so now we're a two minivan family. And that was such a tremendous blessing. But what you may not know is that for the past several months that Jessica and Adam have been allowing us to use one of their vehicles so I could do ministry and come to church and get to school. And I just want to say thank you to them. Every person that I've been able to share the gospel with, or every class that I have attended, every time I've stepped foot in this church, you've helped build the kingdom of God. And thank you. Thank you for your kindness. I don't know if I've said that enough to you guys. Thank you. All right. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to read 6 through 8. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass." Verse 8, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Would you pray with me for just a moment? Father, I thank you for your enduring word. God, I pray now that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that you would enliven that word and cause it to be alive and active in our hearts. God, accomplish your will here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almost a year ago, Monty Williams was fired as the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, only 2 weeks after his team was eliminated from the NBA playoffs. Many thought he had done enough to keep the job, having just led his team to the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. Reporters asked Williams about the somewhat surprising firing. He responded by thanking the organization and the fans, and then gave a reason for the surprising hope that was in him. And this is what he said: God has always been in control of my life. Romans 8:28 is in my heart. All things work out for people who are called by Jesus Christ. God brought me through too much to complain and be bitter. To that, you, all of us can say amen. But 9 short months later, now as the assistant coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Monty Williams found out last week that his 44-year-old wife had been killed in a head-on car accident. The other driver was driving 92 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour speed zone when she crossed the center line and careened head-on into Ingrid Williams' SUV. 3 of their children were in the car with her. Each survived with serious injuries. A week later, Monty Williams stood over the body of his wife of 20 years and the mother of 5 children, and he delivered a powerful eulogy. And in that eulogy, he again recited those words from Romans 8:28. God will cause all things to work together for the good of those who love God and who were called according to his purpose. You see, on that day, Monty Williams knew exactly what Isaiah is talking about here. He knew that life was temporary and that the Word of God is permanent. Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 7 make that plain, that life here on earth is exactly that. It's temporary. The voice cries out, "What shall I say?" Then he says, "All flesh is like grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field." This section of Isaiah in chapters 1 through 39, Isaiah has been condemning the nation and giving prophecy that the nation would be conquered and taken into captivity. But here there's a turn, and this chapter through chapter 66, Isaiah is giving hope and comfort to the nation. And he begins part of this hope by comparing man to a flower of the field and to grass. That's comforting, right? It's beautiful, this flower, right? He says, "Surely all flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like the flower." That's comforting. Till you get to verse 7. He says, "The grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass." I know very little about agriculture. Anything I plant, I usually kill. Laura and I, we had some flowers on our front porch back in the summer, and I bought this container with that pink fluid. No, it's not. Well, it was probably pink. To pour in your windshield wipers, you know, to so you clean your windshield. And when I was done with that, I filled it up with water. And then I started pouring that water into the flowers, and I didn't think about that there might be some chemicals in there that would kill the flowers. And those flowers faded. There was some kind of sage grass or something, one of them. That grass withered pretty quickly. Isaiah uses an illustration of a flower and grass to illustrate that man is temporary and that man is frail. From the very moment that this flower is planted and it begins to grow and to bloom, this maturation process begins. And from that very moment when that seed begins to grow, it's one step closer to death. From the moment you and I take our first breath, that's 1 second closer to the time when we will take our final breath. I read this article recently about this family who were struggling to have children, and finally they conceived, and they found out that they were going to have twins. And they were excited. I've been there, so I know that first sonogram when they say, "Hey, there's two heartbeats." Laura started crying. I started cheering because I was like, "Yeah, two for one special." But in this particular sonogram, when they heard the heartbeats, they also had some devastating news that there was a brain deformity in one of the babies. And it breaks my heart when I see the picture of the one was a boy and one was a girl. And it's amazing. In the sonogram photos, you can see the girl holding on to the little boy's hand, to her brother's hand, as if comforting him, knowing that she may not ever see him with her eyes. And she's comforting him as he slowly dies. The grass withers and the flower fades. Life is temporary. It's temporary. Our life expectancy, I mean, it's improved over the years, 75, 76 years. Some of you guys are way over that, praise God. But when you think about that, 80 years is just not even a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. Life is like a man standing in the cold, breathing out his hot breath. And when you first breathe it out, it's strong and visible, but it dissipates right in front of your eyes. One of our dear friends from college, and I've mentioned this before, he had a daughter, beautiful young lady, creative and loving. And he had several other children, but when she was 10, she was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And they did all kinds of experimental treatments, and for a while it was in remission. And then one day her arm started hurting, and they took her back to the doctor, and the cancer was back with a vengeance. And within just a few months, the flower faded. At 12, she was gone. Life is a vapor. Isaiah says the grass withers and the flower fades. It's a sad reality in this room that you are that grass and you are that flower, and we are in the process of withering and fading. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I want you to hear this. Don't waste your life. Make it count. You may be 12. You may be 75. It's never too early and it's never too late to make your life count. Everyone in this room can do something for the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful for a church that is actively doing things. And, I've talked about Miss Peggy, how she has struggles getting up the steps. But she's up there every Sunday morning making waffles. For kids who probably aren't as thankful as they should be. You may not be able to make it up the steps, but if you want to make a difference for the kingdom, I have a list on my door of young men and young women that our youth are praying for because they know that they need Christ, and they're praying actively for these people to come to know the Lord. If you want to make a difference in the kingdom, but maybe you can't do something physical, let me give you one of their names. And you can pray along with us. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's always something that you and I can do. We think about, Brother David mentioned this morning about Brother Pat and being on Quisenberry's, on the mission field at their age, actively making a difference. And maybe you can't do that. Maybe you can't board a plane and go overseas, but there is something you can do to make a difference. when one of these families come in and you can tell that they need Christ, or you can tell that they've had a bad day. Maybe you can tell that they just had an argument with their spouse in the car before they walked in. You can hug them. Tell them that you love them. Little things make a difference. Make your life count. Life is temporary. He compares that to something that is permanent in verse 8. Again, this is the verse I say every Sunday morning. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This past Wednesday night, I was talking to our students about the story that Jesus told of the wise man who built his house on the rock and the foolish man who built his home on the sand. Both of those men chose a foundation to build their life on. One of them was a false, faulty foundation that would shift and would crumble. But the wise man built his house on something solid. Built it on the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. John Piper says that the Word of God is an anvil that thousands of hammers have been worn out on. His word will endure. Build your life on it. In our society, it's not easy. Some of us have, I believe you used the term this morning, churchianity. Some of us have developed a theology of churchianity, and that's all we know. We come into church, we sing three hymns, we give, hear a message, three-point sermon, and then we go, and that's all we know of Christ. I want to challenge you to build your life on the solid foundation of the Word of God. French philosopher Voltaire, I think he died in the 1700s, but he was anti-religion. He did not like Christianity. He did not like the Bible. He said within 100 years, Christianity will have just been a fad that had faded away and the Bible would be forgotten. But within 50 years after his passing, the Bible Society was actually using his own printing press in his own home to produce Bibles. The Word of God endures. Build your life on it. Make your life count for something as you build it on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I know this was just a quick glimpse at your word in Isaiah, but Father, I pray that you would apply it to our heart, God. These are simple truths, but they're hard truths, God, because they require action. God, I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room, that at the end of their life, that they would not say, I've wasted it. God, I pray that when they come into your presence at the end of their life, that you could say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, I know the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we build our life on the Word of God, because it is sure and solid. It's from you, God. Father, tonight as we celebrate the effort of Miss Judy, God, I pray, God, that you would not only bless her, God, in what she's doing, but God, empower her. God, she sounds like she wants to continue to serve after she recovers. So, God, we pray for that surgery, God, that you would allow it to go smoothly, God, allow her to heal quickly. And God, we trust that you'll use her to continue to build your kingdom. God, I love you, and I thank you so much for these people here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have anything?